the Crate, thanks to your friendly neighbourhood record store, Southbound Records.
Morena, Troy, how are you?
Good, how are you?
Very well, thank you.
Marvellous.
You've brought us up some picks today. We're sliding away from New Zealand music for three tracks this morning to play some fresh stuff from overseas.
Actually quite special, isn't it, really?
Ah, yes.
Yeah.
Yes. Now, the first thing, they're all new releases, one of which is of older music.
Okay.
The other two are brand new.
Okay, cool as.
Now, I think we've spoken on From the Crate before about the Chicago label Coal Mine Records. Coal Mine's about C-O-L-E, as in the brothers.
Oh, Coal. Okay, right.
Okay.
Now, Coal Mine Records releases modern, classic-sounding soul music, mostly.
Right.
And funk.
Mm-hmm.
Usually American in origin.
But new. Not
yeah,
old,
new.
Not reissues.
No, new.
Yeah.
Newly
cool.
done. And there's been things like Orgone. Were you here when we played Orgone?
No, it's not jogging my memory.
A Caber Shakedown, maybe?
No.
Okay.
No. But I believe you.
Yeah, okay. So. Well, we'll
I'm sure.
Now, this label is great. They also have their own record store.
Okay.
Probably not as good as ours.
Where did you say they were based?
Chicago.
Oh, Chicago.
Cool.
Chicago, Illinois. Anyway, the newest release from them, I'm not going to show you this cover yet, Tess, but I'll show you soon.
Is it a surprise then?
Yep. The album is called...
I can kind of see. Sorry.
No, you can't.
Oh, okay.
The album is called The Tales People Tell. It's by Kelly Finnegan, who has played in both of those bands I just mentioned, the Caber Shakedown, and he also was in the Monophonics.
The Caber Shakedown's a good name for a band.
It looks great written as well.
Yeah.
Is this the first solo project?
First solo album done by Kelly, yes. Do you want to hear it? It's called I Don't Want to Wait.
Let's hit this.
Ooh.
I like this.
Yeah.
Okay, now I'm going to show you the cover.
Ooh.
If you'd not told me that this is new music, I would have presumed I was listening to a cool reissue.
It's classic sounding.
Yeah, it's really classic sounding.
But I don't think there's anything... it's not sticky, really. It's not like, oh yeah, let's do this. I mean, it's just expression in the soul
idiom.
Yeah.
Kelly Finnegan.
Now, are you shocked by seeing the picture of this handsome young man?
Not particularly.
No?
Should I be?
I didn't want to show you the picture because I didn't want to put anything in your mind before you heard him singing.
Yeah.
He's got... Yeah, I've got to say the album cover is like... Not what I would have expected from the track we're listening to. This is way more... I think this looks like a sort of like maybe a bit soul-searchy indie cover when you look at it, doesn't it?
Well, I don't know. It looks to me like it could be a 70s, early 70s folk singer-songwriter kind of cover.
Yeah.
But, you know, Coal Mine do amazing packaging. Every single one of their records looks incredible. This one is the least characteristic, I think, picture.
So is he from Chicago as well?
No, Kelly Finnegan is from Oakland, California.
Okay.
San Francisco.
So it says on the back it's produced by Kelly Finnegan as well.
Yep.
So he's done his own production too.
Yeah.
That's pretty cool.
He's a... I think he usually plays the Hammond B3 organ in those other groups he's in.
Okay,
right. That's what he usually does. Another cool thing about these Coal Mine releases, it's always the printing, I think, on the sleeves is always done at Stoughton in California.
Okay.
The records are pressed at Gotta Groove in Memphis.
So it's a multifaceted.
Yes. In fact, Coal Mine is based just outside Chicago in a town called, wait for it, Loveland.
No, it's actually called Loveland.
Loveland, Ohio, yeah.
Nice.
What?
Basically,
can I move
Chicago
there?
Area.
That sounds great.
Loveland.
very fitting for soul music.
See, I can imagine sipping on a cup of coffee, sitting on my deck.
Out in Loveland.
In Loveland, listening to this.
Listening to Kelly Finnegan.
Or something, I don't know.
I don't want to
wait. What if it's wintertime?
Get a blanket.
It'll be quite nice. You can see the sun sparkling on some snow. I don't know if it snows there. Who knows?
Your cat next to you?
Yep.
To keep you warm?
Sounds good.
Be great. So that's I Don't Want to Wait by Kelly Finnegan.
Yeah, the album On Coal Mine is out now. It's called The Tales People Tell. And there's a big sticker that says an undeniable masterclass on the meaning of soul.
And the rest of the album is just also more of that gloriousness.
Well, yeah.
Cool.
Yeah.
Great.
Very cool. What's the next one we've got, Troy?
The next one, we'll stay on the theme of waiting, shall we?
All right.
This one here is called How Much Longer Can I Wait? Singles and Rarities, 1965 to 1972 by Lee Moses.
Nice.
Now, Lee Moses was one of those lost, sort of, I don't mean lost souls, I mean... basically overlooked at the time and rediscovered later.
Yeah, but like kind of like Charles Bradley a little bit. He sort of like missed the boat and then got there. The
difference is that Charles Bradley came back.
Yes.
Lee Moses is dead. He was dead 20 years. So he never really got to like reap any benefit of people like finding his stuff.
Right.
Now, he put out one record called Time and Place, which is an excellent record. It's kind of a... Southern soul sounding, though it was produced in New York City. Johnny Grantley was the guy that did the production on that. But Light in the Attic put that out a couple of years ago. Now they've followed that up with all of the rest of his material.
Okay.
I think he did seven or eight singles, I think. And then they've filled it out with three more unreleased tunes. Now, he's, as it said, 1965 to 72. The first record on here is my adorable one from 65. But by the time you get to the third one on here, Reach Out, I'll Be There, yes, the cover of Four Tops.
Fantastic.
And Day Tripper, the British band. The Beatles.
Those guys.
Has any of his tracks been sampled on other stuff since?
Well, I'm not
released?
Sure.
I feel like it's popped up somewhere.
Lee Moses has.
Let's have a listen, shall we?
Yeah. This one here is How Much Longer Must I Wait? 1967. The Tuesday ride. You know I try. You should ever in
life, every day. This is nice.
Oh, yeah. We do something
wrong. I like the cover of this. This is a cover I would pull this one out of the shelf.
You definitely would?
Yeah, I would pull this one out. It's nice, like, brown paper, got a photo of Lee Moses. It looks like the text has been cut out by hand and stuck on. Yep. It's the kind of thing I would pull out for the aesthetic of the cover. And have a listen to.
And you wouldn't be disappointed, would you?
I would not be disappointed. This is wicked.
Now, Lee Moses, unlike a lot of the soul singers of the era, played guitar as well.
Okay,
so
right.
Basically on all his songs, he's playing guitar and singing.
That's very cool.
He did some, when he'd moved to New York, he did some session work, including session work with a pre-fame version of a fellow called Jimi Hendrix. They worked together. Oh, no.
I just saw that when I just had a little squiz online.
You did?
Yeah, I was trying to work out.
I think, Tess, you're probably thinking of Bad Girl, part one and part two.
Yeah.
That's the one that people have been aware of for at least the last couple of decades. So it probably has been sampled. Mm.
And because it's got Day Tripper, which is a cover of the Beatles song.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Which is instrumental. It's him playing guitar. And Reach Out, I'll Be There is instrumental as well. But the rest of it is this great other voice.
I really like this.
Yeah.
Which part of the States was he from?
He was from Atlanta, Georgia, but had moved to New York City.
Yeah.
But even though he was recording this music in New York, it really retains that Southern soul sort of style.
Yeah, totally. No, this is wicked. I really like this. Lee Moses,
yeah. There's most of it is written by him. We've mentioned the covers. There's another one or two covers, Dark End of the Street being one. That is nuts. but most of it, he wrote the songs as well.
Mm. Fantastic.
Why did this guy get lost? Why didn't his record sell? I don't know.
I wonder if it's... Yeah, it's one of those things that maybe it was just a timing thing.
Yeah, maybe. Maybe. I think it was on a reasonably small label. Perhaps it didn't have the distribution necessary. Perhaps there wasn't the they didn't have the money to bribe the DJs like was done back in the day. Who knows?
Who knows?
But really, really good stuff. Scruffy looking fellow.
I kind of like that. Yep. I think that's a good vibe. That's a good aesthetic, I reckon, that he's got going there.
Are you two aware of Baby Huey?
No, I don't know Baby Huey.
Baby Huey was from Chicago, and his album was... Half of it was produced by Curtis Mayfield. He was rediscovered a couple of years ago, and there's been reissues of his record, which is stunning. And this one kind of makes me feel like that. Like, why weren't they the biggest thing in the world?
Yeah.
There's one tune on here called Never In My Life, which sounds really James Brown.
Oh, cool.
But
there's that same sort of kick that you get from James Brown. That's kind of, I think, a bit of the energy coming out of that track as well. Yeah, no, I like that. What's the third thing you've brought us?
The third thing is something from Australia.
Australia.
Now, this guy, Lawrence Pike, is in a group called Sunwaves that I've only given a cursory listen to. It wasn't really my thing.
Right.
But a couple of years ago, Lawrence Pike's solo record appeared as Southbound, and I didn't really know what it was, and it said solo percussion. I thought, okay.
Oh, no, thank you.
I'll put that aside for the moment and listen to it later, you know. But when I did listen...
Why is that? The word percussion?
Solo percussion. I just didn't think that it would be interesting.
It kind of sounds like a vanity project. Though, it does sound a bit like a vanity project.
However...
It's not.
That record was a killer.
The listeners could have seen Rachel's face just then.
My eyebrows.
Like, are you sure?
Are you sure? I don't know.
Now, that one, what was that called? Distant Early Warning was that one on the Leaf label, as is the new one, Holy Spring. So I was excited when this came in. Another solo percussion record, but what I didn't figure before I listened to the first one is that some of the percussion he's using is triggered drum pads, so he triggers samples and things. Okay. So it doesn't just sound like for 45 minutes.
No. Shall we have a listen?
Chuck it on. Now this one here is called, what is this one?
Dance of the Earth.
Everything on here he recorded in one session, in one day, by himself, no overdubs.
What?
And it's called Holy Spring, and apparently it has some connection to Stravinsky's Rites of Spring. I don't know exactly what it is.
Oh. Wow.
So this is solo percussion.
Yeah. Lawrence Pike. Lawrence with an L-A-U, not a W.
I can hear that drum pad kind of does hold it together a little bit. Gives it a bit of a through line, I guess.
Whether you say through line, I find with his stuff that he does. He's not like a linear composer. It doesn't seem like it's directional music from there to there. It's like if you got...
Oh, that was nice.
Yeah. If you got like a piece of paper and drew a very thick line on it, instead of the song being linear from that end of the thick line to that end, if you folded that piece of paper over and then skewered it at an angle through while it's standing up, that's the part of the song, you know, it's sort of it's within the song rather than going from there to there.
That was a good metaphor, Troy.
Well, listen, it's what it sounds like, right?
Yeah, it is. This is cool.
Yeah, isn't it? Chess isn't so convinced.
You're shaking
it's
your
good.
Head.
No, it's good.
Do you think it's art music? Is that the problem?
No, I don't think it's art music.
I think you have a problem with art music, Tess. We definitely banned
you. I do not have a problem with art music. I don't have a problem with this. However, no, I'm into it.
Oh, you are?
Yeah.
It's the kind of music I would study to. I quite like studying to this kind of music where it sort of you feel like you should be doing, you know, like it's like you should be doing something. There's a little bit of urgency to it.
Yeah.
Really?
Yeah,
I feel like there's a bit of urgency to it. Do you not?
Yeah, I don't feel like I should be doing anything. No. I feel like I want to lean into it or something.
No, this is the kind of music I like to like work to though. I can't work to classical music and stuff like that. I like to have This is cool. Dance of the Earth, this track.
Yep.
So this guy's from Australia.
He's an Australian gentleman. Do not hold that against him, Tess.
Maybe it's just because you brought the words in solo percussion at the start. I know.
But you see, that's what put me off.
Yeah, it's set
put me
a
off
precedent
at the beginning.
For me where I'm like, damn, I don't know.
You thought it'd be some dreadlocked hippie bashing on a log, didn't you?
No, I thought it was more... I had expected it to be more electronic, I think.
What? More electronic than that?
Yeah.
Okay.
But I like it. I'm into it.
Well... We're not bullies, but I think me and Rachel are both against you on that one.
Keep me out of this. I'm just listening to the music right now. Lawrence Pike, Dance of the Earth. What's the album called?
The
again?
Album is called Holy Spring. It
Holy
is out on the Leaf label. The other, right before that, from Light in the Attic's Future Days recordings, is Lee Moses, How Much Longer Than I Wait? Must I Wait?
And that's, how many copies you got of that? Is that
we've got a few, but by a few, I only mean, you know.
A few.
Like a handful.
A handful.
Ooh. And started off brand new on the Coal Mine label, Kelly Finnegan, The Tales People Tell. That was another waiting song we heard. I don't want to wait.
You don't want to wait? No,
I just
want to
smash this microphone in front of me.
I've got to say the Lee Moses is my favourite today, Troy.
You like that one?
Yep, I really like that one. Thank you for bringing those up. We will see you next week.
I'll see you in the shop before that.
See you in the shop before that. Probably for that Lee Moses record, to be fair. I'll be along to grab one of the handful. Thanks for that.
Thanks.
From the crate, thanks to Southbound Records, 132 Simon Street.